Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
His name was Chez.
Chez. Not Shay. C-H-E-Z.
Would you please pass the Chez?
Because he's American. He's Chez. If he was anywhere else, he'd be Shay.
Who's pitching today for the Texas Rangers?
Lance Lynn.
Isn't that when Todd Haley said he wanted 53 Lance Lynns?
Lance Long.
Oh, Lance Long. Yes. I'm like, yes. 53 Lance Lynns was what Todd Haley said.
I think Lance Lynn was one of the ones that was in the bullpen when Larissa couldn't get the right name on the phone.
Repchinski.
Or Lynn or something.
It was definitely Repchinski.
Yeah, I was thinking Lynn was involved in that somehow, too.
May have been, but because I know he's a former Cardinal.
Yeah.
May have been. Lance Lynn may have been, yeah. That's so long ago now, too. That's like three managers ago now in St. Louis. Name the Cardinals manager.
The guy that followed Mike Matheny.
That's right. Do you know the St. Louis Cardinals manager?
Bill something?
No, it's Mike Schilt.
There it is.
Mike Schilt.
Bill something.
Bill Schilt, something.
Sure. What I was thinking of.
Bill Schilt's his brother. He's the hitting coach at AA Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Down on the farm.
That's what I was thinking.
Your chance to win a $25 gift card to Twin Peaks. That is the 8 o'clock hour prize just for listening. It's very simple. Ryan will lay it out.
What? Oh, the prize way you win. I got you. It's confused there. It is really simple. All you have to do is listen for this.
Go screw yourself.
Next time you hear that, be caller number
53.
All right.
For 53 Lance Longs?
That's right.
That's good. Be caller number 53 next time you hear that. It's 913-576-7610 or 7610 because you don't have a 10 on your keypad. Punch that into your phone. Be caller 53 when you hear that, and I'll hook you up with $25 to Twin Peaks.
I'm going 53 because I assume that's the number somewhere in that range that the new linebacker for the Chiefs, Devontae Long, is going to be wearing this year.
It's not his name.
Darren Lee would be his name. Yes,
I got the D and the L right.
Darren Lee wore 58 the last 2 years.
Oh,
yeah, I don't think he'll be wearing that.
I don't think he'll be wearing 58 here. I would guess he's not wearing 58 here. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I would say no.
Yeah, I'd imagine he's not wearing 58.
No, but Darren Lee, new Chief. Chiefs taking advantage of the Jets, who fired their general manager and their player personnel guy yesterday. And Adam Gase, the head coach, is the interim GM. First call he took was from Brett Veach.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You want to give us Lance Long?
Leased him out of a former first-round pick that's going to get a new shot here in Kansas City.
I like it. I don't know anything about this guy, and I'm not going to pretend to know what this guy can do and what this guy can't do. I'll leave Twitter handle all that. They were experts yesterday on this guy coming into Kansas
Twitter
City.
Scouts, Twitter videos.
It was insane.
You're looking for your next – I'm talking to NFL franchises here.
Right.
Your next analyst, Hex, CBS, Fox, whoever. Go to Twitter, man.
Hey, they're all
you
there.
You can find everything you need to know about this Darren Lee character.
Right. The only thing I saw yesterday that made me question the move was he doesn't really play well in space. So I don't know how that's going to work for
I saw something else where he plays very well in space.
So you saw one where he does play well in space. So it's somewhere in the middle.
Either does or doesn't play well in space.
He does read the guard's head very well, understands when a guard's going to pull and knows how to get in his hip pocket and follow him down the line.
Speaking
of scrimmage.
Hips, very good hips.
Good hips. Really nice hips.
He can swivel.
Yeah, he can.
And stuff.
Good movement. Quick off the ball. You know, he's a football player,
Josh.
I don't know.
I mean, he started 36 of his 40 games in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a starter for three seasons.
Right. That's my favorite description, by the way. He's a football player.
He's a football player.
It covers everything.
How many times did you hear John Dorsey say that?
He's just a football player.
He's a football player.
At the end of the day, he's a football player.
What does that mean?
I think you should start there. But anyway.
Yeah. He loves the game of football.
He's a real soccer player.
So this guy played a lot. I mean, he played a lot in New York.
Yeah.
They opted to not pick up his fifth-year option. Reports were they were trying to trade him before the draft. kind of fell off their depth chart, didn't fit with what they were doing anymore.
I don't even think
signed
he was on
somebody
the
else, blah, blah, blah. So he's going to get a fresh start here. I like these types of moves. I don't know. I'm not going to break down Darren Lee's YouTube videos for you, but others will. You can.
Go spoon yourself.
I like this type of move, though. You get a guy who is a former first-round pick. You probably scouted him at some point in time and thought he showed you a little something. Maybe Spags saw something on video that he liked of him, and you go and you make a sixth-round pick for a guy that was a former first-round pick that's only got 1 year remaining on his contract. This is like a no-lose situation.
Well, what I think it really happened, I think what we're going to find out as we move along through this football season, you know, with the Chiefs, the best thing that happened to the Chiefs was Steve Spagnuolo having last year off and being able to sit down at NFL Films and just watch players and watch guys and really kind of make, I don't know if it's mental notes or notes on paper or if he carries a binder around with him, but while he was watching those games and just charting things and writing stuff down, knowing he was going to get back into football again, who are guys that he liked? He had the opportunity to basically watch the entire league, Josh, and come up with a wish list of players that if I'm hired by another organization and they ask me who I want, who can fit my system, well, here's a list of players that I would like. And I'm sure he went into Brett Veach and Andy Reid when he was hired and they said, all right, like, who do you want out there to help you with your system? Who's going to help you achieve the most success? And I think what Brett Veach got from Steve Spagnuolo was a list of those guys. And Spag said, hey, man, if any of these guys become available and any of these guys are cut or we have an opportunity to get any of these guys, I'd like to take an opportunity and a chance with some of these guys. And that's where I think Darren Lee falls into that category. You gave up a sixth-round draft pick. You're not going to do anything better with your sixth-round draft pick than a guy like Darren Lee, who played basically every single game as a starter for the Jets. Is it a highlight reel guy? No. Is it a name you know? No. Is it a guy that you look at and say, wow, he's a game changer? Probably not. But does he make your roster better? Yeah, he does. He absolutely makes your roster better. And those are the type of moves that Brett Veach has been making in conjunction with the Honey Badger and Frank Clark and, you know, going through the draft and picking players out of the draft. He's also making kind of these quiet stealth moves that a lot of people aren't going to be talking about, but are going to turn that roster over, create competition, and ultimately from 1 to 53, make you better than you were a season ago. And we know last year that middle linebacker spot was a weak position on this team. They went out and got a guy. Is he better? I don't know. But they took a chance, they took an opportunity, and they're trying to get better. And I think Brett Veach is not getting enough credit for how much better and different the Kansas City Chiefs from just a defensive standpoint have become in 4 months. I mean, 4 months ago, Josh, this team was playing in an AFC championship game. And here they are now, hardly a similar face on that roster defensively than was there 4 months ago. And I think Brett Veach has done an amazing job this offseason in helping Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo reinvent the defense to get better from where they were a season ago. And it's moves like this that aren't going to get applauded. People aren't going to talk a lot about them, but it's just another instance of this team and this organization not sitting back and resting on their laurels and continuing to move forward to get better as an organization, or at least try to get better as an organization.
Yeah, I find myself thoroughly shocked that they did this much stuff.
It's been a lot, man.
At every layer of the every level of the defense now, they have made moves, multiple moves. That's a lot to do in one off season.
Yeah.
Thought they'd have like a wish list, a checklist, and I don't know if we can get a few of these things done and change things up.
Mm-hmm.
They could have very well just said, hey, Chiefs fans, we know you were pissed at Bob Sutton.
Right.
We're changing the coordinator and that's it. It definitely was the scheme. It wasn't the players. It was the style and the scheme.
Right.
And we're just going to roll with who we got.
Right.
They didn't do that.
No.
They changed the scheme and changed damn near all the players.
Correct.
It's an amazing transformation, and I hope it works. It's very bold. It's aggressive. It's getting after a problem that was your biggest problem, and they have done that on paper.
Right.
I can't say they haven't tried at all.
Right. They've done a nice job trying, and I think Brett Veach is going to continue to be criticized unfairly because Patrick Peterson is not a member of this team yet. And I think that's the icing on the cake.
You pull that one off, you just put your hands and go, whammy. You did everything possible.
But Josh, that's out of his control, because if Arizona isn't willing to part with him, then there's nothing Brett Veach can do. I mean, he can't go in there and steal the guy. fly into Arizona and find him and roust him and, you know, put him on a plane back. You just can't do that.
I think that's kidnapping.
That's
kidnapping.
Yeah, it's illegal in most states.
OJ went to jail for that.
Yeah, well, so you can't do that.
And
then
cross state lines, you don't want to do
that. You don't want to do that. Then it becomes a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a federal case instead of a state case.
And now you get the FBI on
you. Yeah, then it's getting dicey.
Like, I know what happens when you go from 3 to 4 stars on GTA, and so I don't need that in my life.
What's GTA?
Oh, geez. Your chance to win, or actually Chris and KC had the win, the $25 gift card.
No, I have no idea what GTA
Twin Peaks.
Is. Game of Thrones?
Yes. Yes. Let's just go with that. Chris, this hour's winner, we give stuff away at 7, 8, 9 o'clock just for listening. So be listening for that 9 o'clock hour prize coming up. It's going to be one hell of a fight. And I guess they need to publicize this fighter more. Because boxing has trash talk and it's fantastic. Next.
Fesco in the morning. Morning.
13 minutes away from your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword. 1,000 on the 30s coming up at 7:30, 72881. At that time, when you hear that word, that's the text number you need to know to win $1,000. I think we love trash talking in sports, right?
Oh, I think it definitely adds to it. Yeah, I like it.
I think boxing has been one that's been really good over the years at trash talking. Like, where is Deontay Wilder been all of our lives? He is heading towards his 42nd fight.
42nd?
Yeah, there you go. Right? He's the new Ivan Drago.
He really is. Like, this is legit Ivan Drago.
0-1 with 39 knockouts.
Who'd he lose to, Apollo?
Yes. He's got a fight coming up against Dominic Brazil, who's 20-1. His quote, if he dies, he dies.
Drago literally said
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Do we have Drago saying?
This is boxing. This is not a gentleman's sport. This is a gladiator sport. With bad blood, we know I possess the power. Man, I love this guy.
Hey, Dominique Brazil asked for this. I didn't go seek him. He seek me. So if it comes, it comes. This is a brutal sport. This is not a gentleman's sport. I keep saying this is not a gentleman's sport. We don't ask to hit each other in the face, but we does in a way. And you can ask any doctor around the world, he'll tell you the head is not meant to be hit. Anybody can go. And on this particular time, we have bad blood against each other. This is the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it at the same time. It's legal. So why not use my right to do so?
He dies.
Wow.
This fight is going to be off the chain.
Wow. Wilder continues.
I can't wait for Saturday night. It's going to be a massacre. I've always talked about wanting something on my record, wanting a body on my record. And, you know, in boxing, you get the opportunity to do what you got to do and get paid for it. That's what I love.
He just wants to wreck people.
Oh, my goodness.
The guy said, I've always wanted something on my record. Here's what I'm thinking right now. If you're that guy's opponent and you die in the ring, aren't the promoters then of the fight kind of held responsible for this? Like, this guy's going out here and telling everybody he wants to literally kill his opponent. And not, like, figuratively speaking, like, I want to kill that guy and win. No, he literally wants to kill the guy.
Yeah.
Like, he said, I want something like this on my record.
Did Mike Tyson once say he was going to eat somebody's children or something?
Yeah, but come on, that's different. This guy is...
That's cannibalism.
This guy is going out there and saying he's going to kill the man.
I think eating someone's child would also indicate killing
him. Well, that child would have to be there in the ring. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that take place in that. But this guy...
Tyson was hyperbolic and this guy's genuine.
And,
No, I think
in between
guy,
rounds,
yeah, he's like gnawing on children and in the
child's
crowd.
Arm.
No, I don't think this guy is hyperbolic at all. I think this guy is scary, and I don't think should be allowed to fight. Quite honestly, because
those are the guys we want fighting.
No, you don't want this guy who's going out there trying to murder somebody. You want guys to go out there who are going to box that are looking to win the fight. This guy is looking to try to kill a human being. Because it's legal, he said.
I mean, I've never known you to be a huge fan of combat sports. But, like, that's... I am, and that's what I want.
You want to see this guy rooting for death?
I don't want to see this guy literally kill him.
But that's what this guy is saying. This guy isn't saying I want to go out there. I don't mind combat sports. I like combat sports. But when you got a guy who days before the fight is saying that he wants something on his record like this, if he dies, he dies. I want to kill this man. Like I just don't think you can.
Good drama.
I don't know, man.
If it was good enough for Drago to say, it's good enough for him to say.
Drago is a movie. You do realize that?
No, yes, that was real. That was a documentary. Right. That was not a documentary.
It was a movie. As far as I know. This is real life.
And it was great drama, Bob.
It was a movie, Ryan. This is real life. You're talking about a real person potentially getting killed.
You legitimately think that Deontay Wilder wants to go out there and murder a human being 100%, in front of everyone?
100%. Did you listen to what he said? I want something on my record. If he dies, he dies. I want to kill this man.
I gotcha.
Did he not say that?
Well, it's Dominic Brazil's challenge not to get killed.
If I'm a promoter, I don't know that I can let this fight go on. Because if this guy dies in the ring,
it's not like
your ass is going to jail.
It's not like they're holding his arms behind his back and he gets like free shots at the guy. He's going to get a chance to fight him.
One of the biggest aspects of combat sports is the mental game that leads up to the fight.
I understand that.
And this is terrific
lead up.
That Deontay Wilder is in this cat's head.
When was the last time that you heard a guy say, I want to kill some, like, I want to kill him. If he dies, he dies.
I assume Ivan Drago was the last
time, which was a movie. Like this to me is just a little bit different.
This is terrific. This is phenomenal.
To me, it's just a little bit different. What if this guy does die? There's going to be lawsuits. I feel like there's got to be some stipulation
in your contract.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't let this guy in the ring. I was like, look, dude, we can't have you in the ring.
Well, he's clearly won the mental game with you.
Yeah, but you don't want to step in that ring with him, do you? I wouldn't step in that ring with this guy, even if he didn't say that. That guy's a giant. I'm not going in the ring with this guy. But if you're out here and your number one goal is to kill somebody, and that's your goal of this fight is to kill another human being, I don't know how you sanction this fight and let this thing go on.
A16, it's okay to want to kill someone, but don't go around saying it.
Yeah, keep that in your mind. Like, you know, that's what you want to do, but hell, you go out there and say that.
This is going to be ran on ESPN. It's going to be on sports radio shows across the country.
The only way I knew this fight was happening.
You talk all the time. Well, I don't know about you specifically, but a lot of people talk all the time about what happened to boxing. Where's the drama in boxing? Guess what? Here it is on a silver platter, and now you want to take the Snowflake 2019. What if he kills a man in the ring approach? Yeah, come on.
If these guys would have fought and he died in the ring, then he dies in the ring. But you've got a premeditated dude getting in that ring with the sole goal of killing somebody?
Tyson wanted to make orphans of children.
No, I think he said, I want to eat your children. I don't think he said that orphans.
He might have also done that.
He might have done that.
Like, I don't think that when a wide receiver is like, I'm going to torch the defense, I don't think they're going to go out there and literally set the defense on fire.
No, that's obviously a figurative speech. This man is saying he wants to
kill. I really want a torching on my record.
That's right. I've always wanted a good torching.
You better
torching.
Stop this game.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got one of those little lighters that you light your grill with.
I think
stuffed up his sleeve.
I think you lose your mind in certain situations, man. And if you're going in with the mindset that your number one goal is to kill another human being, that's not sports. That's psychotic.
Hey, you have your new favorite coach.
Yeah, I do.
Buffalo Sabres new coach Ralph Krueger.
Right.
Is the new coach of Buffalo Sabres. You're like, why the hell are you talking about the Buffalo Sabres? He did a brilliant thing.
Right, he did. He was running an English Premier League team in Southampton. Yes, a soccer team in Southampton, England, and was hired to be the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. But before he took the job, and of course, this guy Krueger comes from the Krueger Industrial Smoothing Company, so he's got a great background and a history of money, and he's got everything that he could possibly want. When you own a company like Krueger Industrial Smoothing, you've got everything in life. You don't need to be the coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
Anyway.
And so what he decided to do before he took the job, he flew into Buffalo and watched two hockey games in bars with Sabre fans and sat there and asked Sabre fans all kinds of questions that he wanted the answers to that he knew he wasn't going to get from management and that he knew that he couldn't get once he became the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. He said, I was able to tap in. I watched two playoff games a few weeks ago, and I changed bars every period, so I didn't stay too long. But it was quite interesting. I'd sit beside Sabre fans and have conversations that I won't be able to have with them now, but it was very enlightening. I certainly could get a feel for the spirit of this city. I think that's a brilliant move. If you're going to get ready to take over a team in a town that doesn't have much else going on like Buffalo does with the Sabres and they just have the Bills.
And I guess you're lucky enough to be non-recognizable.
You're a nondescript head coach. Nobody knows who you are.
So this looks like just a middle-aged gentleman in a bar talking sports.
You got an opportunity to go sit down with the fans and really get the pulse of what the fans are thinking about this team. Because the fans are going to tell you different things than the owner's going to tell you. The owner's trying to sell you on this job. A fan doesn't know who you are, that you're trying to take this job. They're going to be honest and open with you about everything that they feel and how things are going, you know, with this franchise. So I think it's a pretty cool way to try to get a pulse of the city that I don't know if a coach has ever done that before. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys are recognizable in some of these other sports, but, you know, this Kruger guy, I mean, good Lord. I mean, that's just an unbelievable move, I think, to becoming head coach. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to Bobby Baker's. I'm going to sit here and ask what they think of the Chiefs. I'm going to see what they think about the Royals and just kind of sit here and pick the brain of people in the city and fans of this team before I really take this job so I know what I'm really getting into.
Seems really smart if you don't have to wear the Bobby Valentine nose and mustache.
Correct. Yeah, like people would know Bobby Valentine. This guy, nobody knows who this guy is.
Your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's 1,000 on the 30s. Our big story coming up. And why hasn't the Big 12 been bragging about this? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning. In the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word SHAPE to 72881. SHAPE. SHAPE. SHAPE to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. As 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to win up to $12,000 each weekday. Just listen on the 30s from 7 to 7. Your next chance coming up at 9:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. SHAPE, SHAPE to 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. Lots to get to before 9 o'clock. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Sean Levine of The Drive had a very strong list we're going to discuss coming up in just a few minutes. I can't believe the Big 12 does something they don't publicize.
This is unbelievable, and this is right up Ryan's alley, and I know he's going to be excited.
I borderline think it's fake, but we'll find out together.
Well, it was real. It was in Sports Illustrated.
And I just can't believe they're not publishing this thing. But it's time for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
She's still doing work. Go out and make a trade with the Jets. Acquiring a former first-round draft pick at a linebacker spot. Huh. Another position of need for the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Darren Lee acquired from the Jets for a sixth-round pick. Now, Lee had his fifth year not picked up by the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So they were deciding they were going to move in a different direction. Made him kind of expendable. Apparently wanted to try to trade him before the draft. Didn't really happen. Got to their offseason workouts. According to reports in New York, wasn't really on the depth chart. Kind of fell out of favor. But he started 36 of 40 games in New York over the last three seasons. He was a starter for the Jets. The first 12 games, I should say, last year before a four-game suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Did not play the final four games of last year.
Right.
But not a suspension that carries over anything. Gave up a sixth-round pick for a guy who's a former first-round pick that has 1 year remaining on his contract, and he's going to get a fresh start, fresh opportunity. Seems like a no-problem type of deal. A really good, positive move for a Chiefs defense that continues to change over.
Well, I don't know anything about this guy. I'm not going to act like I do. I'm not going to pretend I'm a savant with Darren Lee and that I watched him in college or watched him with the Jets, because I didn't. I'm just being honest with you on that. But what I do like is the move to continue to get better by this organization and by Brett Veach. I feel like that Brett Veach has gotten criticized this offseason because they haven't made that quote-unquote big splash at that cornerback position. Everybody wants Patrick Peterson to come here and be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. I just think at this point in time, Brett's done all that he can in trying to get Patrick Peterson. The ball's now in the court of the Arizona Cardinals. It's up to them to decide whether or not they're going to trade Patrick Peterson. If the other team isn't willing to trade him, then there's nothing that can be done. You can't just go, you know, kidnap him like an old school and throw him in the back of a van and drive him to Kansas City. That doesn't work. So I think the way that they have handled this offseason from a defensive standpoint, I just don't think the general manager is getting enough credit. New coordinator, new coaches, new players, big names that you know, gone. Going out and trading for a big name player in Frank Clark, signing Honey Badger, Rashard Breland coming in, like a guy that everybody wanted last year. I think they have done an amazing job this offseason in revamping a defense that went to the AFC Championship game and took the New England Patriots to overtime. Most teams would just sit back and go, all right, another year, we can get better, we're good to go. The Chiefs looked at that and went, we're not good enough. We're getting rid of everybody. Everybody's expendable. And I think they've done a great job with that. But I feel like people are holding back on Brett Veach and giving him enough credit because Patrick Peterson isn't a member of the Chiefs. And as you said earlier, that's the cake topper. I mean, that's not even the icing on the cake. That's the cake topper that you have at your wedding day is Patrick Peterson.
They make the trade for Patrick Peterson, Fesco, and you might not have to plan the parade because I've already planned
it. You've got the parade.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that's that type of move where I go, oh, man, I done. I mean, I think they've done a miraculous job of making all the changes they made this offseason. You can be Patrick Peterson, too, and I'm going, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I feel like they've done a lot, and that's not also not in your control.
Right.
You can't control whether or not they would want to trade him. Do I believe you made the call? Yeah, probably. I think there's some smoke to that one for sure. But I'm not going to knock you for not getting that one done when you've done so much other stuff. They could have very easily just said, you got your coordinator, folks. Fans, you bitched about Bob Sutton, okay? We got rid of Bob Sutton for you.
That could have been it.
Yeah, we're going to show you it was the scheme.
Yeah.
And we're just going to change the scheme. We're going to put in the same players. We're going to roll. They could have very easily done that. And we could have all went, oh, okay, yeah, well, let's see what they do under this scheme.
Yep.
They haven't done that. They've changed out just about everybody.
Josh, it's never just one thing, you know? It's never just one thing. You don't just wave a magic wand and remove the coordinator and everything's fixed. Maybe the scheme wasn't the best, but those players weren't good either. Eric Berry was a big problem that people just don't understand. Every week you were wondering whether or not he was going to play. That takes a toll inside an organization, inside a locker room. Not being able to rely on Justin Houston week in and week out. That takes a toll on the players and the coaching staff. Now they've got players that they believe can go out there and play and get the job done. D. Ford, get rid of him. You know, let's call it what it is. He lined up off sides. I mean, come on. So you've gotten rid of guys that you weren't firmly believing in, and you brought in players now and coaches now that you firmly believe in and that you believe that you can win with. And that's what the Chiefs have done this offseason on the defensive side of the football. So well done for Brett Veach, man. Well done. Well done. Well done.
There's your big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. Sean Levine on the drive. I don't know how much. He's pretty new, right?
Sure.
I don't know how much you've heard of Sean. He has a lot of lists. I feel like he goes home at night and makes a lot of lists.
Do you think he's like a beautiful mind and
I think
there
so.
And
I think I don't know. I've never asked him. I think he's probably got a notebook.
You ever been to the crib?
I have not. I believe he's probably got a notebook of lists. I think he thinks about a lot of stuff. There's a lot of thinking going on with Sean.
I haven't even like begun to like contemplate what Casa de Levine looks like.
No.
A lot of
I assume there's not a lot on the walls.
No, probably not.
No.
A lot of lists could be on the walls.
I think there's notebooks with lists.
Just like flip-flops and slacks laying everywhere.
I've never seen somebody wear flip-flops and slacks like he does with that flat-brimmed hat. It's a unique look, and you do you,
He is his own cat, right?
You do you, man.
So they were discussing this yesterday, and this is a pretty good list. He listed his five most annoying things in Kansas City sports, which is pretty good. Five, calling the Royals a small market team and acting like they don't have any money.
Well, they are a small market team, and their TV deal is terrible, so I disagree with that one.
But we do all pretend like, oh, woe is me. They don't have any cash to spend. Well, $100 million, there's $100 million salary or payrolls every year.
Yeah.
So there's money. There's money, okay? I'm not saying they're...
But they don't have the same amount of money as the Yankees and Dodgers.
I'm not saying there's not limitations, but let's not pretend like they're living like everyone else in the world, paycheck to paycheck.
Mm. Okay?
It's not happening. Pretending K-State football is elite. Wow, took a shot at K-State,
wow.
Did he? The NBA to KC talk. The Chiefs withholding info. And KU and MU not playing for the fans. It's a pretty good list of annoying things in Kansas City sports.
Uh-huh.
Got any others?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if any of those would have made... Like, I don't know that a lot of people... Like, elite is Alabama. Clemson, that's the elite. K-State is unbelievable. I think K-State's an amazing football program. But I saw some K-State fan yesterday post. He goes, I went to K-State and I don't even think we're elite. like stuff like that. So, for me, I think...
Well, you have called their former coach the greatest football coach of all time.
I think he is, yeah.
And they've not won anything.
I know, but I think he is.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
there is a perception that they have accomplished maybe more because we look at him as, man, you've done that in Manhattan, Kansas.
Right.
You do get a ton of extra credit for that.
But he took over a program that was the worst program in the history of college football. And not only did Bill Snyder change the football program, he changed the university and got an airport built in Manhattan, Kansas, Josh. I mean, without Bill Snyder's successes there as a football coach, who knows if K-State is even still around, okay?
I'm saying I agree. Some of it's awfully elevated.
Yeah.
Because we go, well, it's in Manhattan, so look what they've done.
Yeah. But what he took over and where he got it to be, I mean, come on now. We've seen K-State without Bill Snyder, and we've seen K-State with Bill Snyder. Night and day difference. For me, the most annoying thing about is that what he said? Most annoying things mm-hmm. about Kansas City sports. I think one of them that falls on me is like people feel the need to preface themselves as a season ticket holder and how many years that they've been a season ticket holder. I don't care.
My favorite phone calls and texts always begin with, "I've been a Chief season ticket holder for X amount of years." It's like they wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Which I mean, you should. It lets you know you've hung around even through crappy times, and you may have not, you know, spent your money wisely, but you bought a terrible product. But,
right.
You know, wear it as a badge of honor, sure.
Yeah. Like
it doesn't gain you, though, any more insight.
No.
And expertise.
No.
It just doesn't, no.
So, like, when people sit there, well, I've been a season ticket holder since 1952. Okay. Great. KU fans who don't understand that there are 9 other teams in the Big 12, and every
okay,
once in a while,
stop at KU fans.
Well, I could just stop at KU fans, and I went to KU, but my goodness, some of the KU fans, oh boy, they live in a bubble where, what do you mean we didn't win the Big 12 for the 15th straight year? How is that possible? Well, there's 9 other teams out there, man. I mean, it's not easy to just own the Big 12 every year. Another thing that was annoying in Kansas City sports, the Chiefs defense, Royals bullpen. Are we allowed to say things that are on the field, or are these more bigger picture?
I mean, the Royals bullpen wasn't always annoying, though.
KU football is on that list.
I'm saying new money Royals fans.
Now, see, that bothers me. That's more annoying than you calling somebody a new money Royals fan.
Yes, I'm firmly in the camp. Bandwagons are okay.
They happen everywhere.
Okay to jump on a bandwagon.
Which, by the way, I remember a couple of years ago people saying, I wish that the Royals ticket prices would go down, so like that's one of the benefits of them not being good is that the ticket prices
right.
would drop. Where has everybody been? They're like, man, I really love these ticket prices.
Yeah,
now.
You know what's yeah. you know, great about the them not playing well? The tickets have gone down again.
I'm like going out there having a whole road
bragging
yourself.
About that.
Like, stretch out,
yeah,
get some
yeah.
room.
I'm
using like 4 cup holders. I don't care.
Sure, use it all, man. Where are those guys now, right? Because that's out there. That's available out there. What else do I have out here? Interviewing Chiefs players because all they say. Cliches, nothing comes out, you know, when you talk to them. Andy's personality, kind of annoying. I wish we knew more about Andy. Andy's personality.
The whole Andy thing's annoying to
me. Andy's annoying.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
I'm saying a really good coach.
Great coach.
I think he's a fantastic coach.
Wouldn't
no
trade
one
him for anybody else but Belichick.
I just wish he'd let us inside a little bit. Show us who he is.
Like Ned does.
Give you a little... method behind the madness.
Ned may call my idea stupid, but man, you can have some good conversations and learn stuff about
I just don't think it's that hard to play the game, to play the media game, to play the talk to your fans game.
Yeah.
I think the way he goes about it is much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be liberating for him just to be, like, kind of real.
Right.
So, yeah, Andy annoys me.
Also, fans who look for the worst in everything. Like, instead of dwelling on the bad, why not look at the good and talk about the good? Life's better when you talk about good things and you look at the good in things. When you focus on the bad all the time, like that's annoying.
I was always told that you have to take the good and take the bad.
Yeah.
Take them both and there you have
it. It's the facts of life. There's no question about that. But like there are some that just always just want to just dwell on the negative all the time.
I'm just thinking about the facts of life theme song now.
Do you know 2D turned like 50 this year or something like that? Yeah. What else is on your list?
I like this one from the Protein House. You the Purpose text line, 69306. People camping at Mahomes' house.
Yeah, that is annoying.
That is really
annoying. That is, yes. People meaning media and fans, yes. Everybody.
Is there media camping in his house on too?
Well, there was. I think Channel 9 was out there, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Channel 9 was like peering through the windows.
Just giving out his
reporter
address.
With binoculars out there.
Kim Fields is 50.
Yeah, I told you, right? I just saw it just recently. Yeah, she looks good, though.
Still very, very true.
But that makes you feel old because you remember when she was Tootie.
Tootie.
So you can weigh in on your...
What's on your list?
Sports annoyances, 69306.
KU fans, and that's about it, really. I think LaVine covered most of the things. The foul ball or the sack fly clapper is still going to be always on my list. Inferiority complex.
Yeah, we got to stop having that. We're a better city than...
I think is probably up there. People that... constantly want to talk about, you know, not having an NBA or NHL team. That kind of gets on my nerves. It's not going to happen for us.
No. We're done with that
I'm
conversation,
fine with that.
Right?
You like don't even watch the NBA anyway. Why do you care?
That's a good point. Like Josh says, I didn't watch the game last night. I didn't either. You know? Oh, why do we want it? We're not watching it.
And I get the argument of, well, if we had a team here, maybe we would watch.
Well, you would.
I definitely would. I'd be more invested in both. Either league if we had a team.
We have a soccer team here.
That's a good point. How much other MLS action are you watching?
Yeah, even though Major's in its name, it's still not a heavily consumed league.
It's the first of the acronym.
I know it is. It's a misnomer.
Major.
What about the NHL though?
I don't know that I would completely follow the NHL as much. I'd follow it much more.
Mm-hmm.
But not to that.
Sorry, I was looking at
not to an NFL MLB, probably NBA extent.
And nothing's going to get followed like the NFL does. Like, people have to stop. Like, the NFL has ruined sports. Like, Tom Brady's ruined the NFL. The NFL has ruined sports because they do basically, from a consumer standpoint, everything's done great. They dominate one day of the week, and you know that's the day in the three-hour block that you have to invest, and that is it, my man. Mm. That is it.
I'm annoyed by the split allegiances, the proud of being a split allegiance.
What do you mean?
That was something I never encountered
like
until I came to Kansas
City. Football
fan
and the KU basketball fan?
No, or like, the split. Not that you can't intermarry between the two, but there are so many that have, like, cross allegiances. To me, that's just weird.
Like
it could be the KU basketball fan, the K-State football fan.
Yeah, I've seen the Nebraska football fan and the KU basketball fan too.
That was completely foreign to me. I'm like, how can that happen?
Yeah,
pick a side.
816 says so. Basically, what you guys are saying is that your entire audience base got it.
Yeah, sports fans were genuinely annoying.
Yeah, we all suck.
Can we look in the mirror and say we're sports fans are annoying?
Oh
yes,
I got one too. Everyone that gets super excited about baseball fights. I never understand baseball fights. There's not been a good baseball fight since
Graham Lloyd.
Since Ventura locked up, or Nolan Ryan locked up Robin Ventura.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Graham Lloyd one with the Orioles and Yankees was pretty good when he came around Darryl Strawberry and roundhouse some dude. That was a good one. But you're right, baseball fights aren't fights.
They never are.
They're like, you know, yelling and hold me back, bro.
There's been about 7 punches landed in baseball fights in the history of baseball. Like,
and they were all by Nolan
history.
Ryan and Graham Lloyd.
Yeah, and Rognet Odor got one.
Yeah, he did. That wasn't a good, that was just a good cheap
that
shot.
That was a good punch.
It's kind of the one that you hang on the mantle and it keeps you going.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that is a good one.
69306 on the Protein House E with the Purpose text line. Continue to weigh in on your Kansas City sports annoyances. I don't understand, Fesco. You found the story. I don't understand why the Big 12 has not publicized this.
Hang on a second. You just said you don't understand why the Big 12.
Well, I should understand. We dog the Big 12 all the time about not being progressive, being behind the curve.
Right.
Never are on the forefront of anything involving the NCAA and their sports.
The Big 12 actually is considering legalizing the forward pass this year.
They are not exactly progressive.
No.
Ever. How are they not telling everybody they are at the forefront of this sport?
Yeah, meat judging. Intercollegiate meat judging is a sport that is sanctioned by the Big 12.
Come again now?
Yeah, intercollegiate meat judging.
Do they call the judges meat gazers?
It's college football in a cooler. A world built around high school recruiting, top-notch facilities, competition for scholarships, rivalries, national championship, All-Americans, and professional scouts. This is all according to Sports Illustrated. How it works. Colleges compete to see which team can best evaluate cuts of beef, pork, and lamb. Each competition features multiple events or classes. Yield grading. This class requires competitors to eyeball the amount of fat and muscle on a beef carcass down to fractions of an inch. Eyeball that. Specifications.
What?
In this event, competitors must evaluate whether a table of 10 cuts fits a checklist of USDA standards.
This feels fake.
Scoring. A school can enter as many students as it wants, but only 4 competitor scores count towards the team's official total. Whenever outsiders ask about it, you just admit, yeah, it's really weird. We freeze our butts off for 5 hours in a contest, and it is what it is, says Kansas State senior Sam Davis. The powerhouse? Texas Tech. They've won 7 of the last 11 national championships, which take place in, of course, Dakota City, Nebraska, every November. Why are the Red Raiders so dominant? Well, it starts with geography and money. Since Texas Tech is in the heart of cattle country, the team is able to practice with a fresh set of cuts every week, the equivalent of extra live reps on the practice field.
Here come the meat sweats.
They have more updated meat.
Right. In 1982, the school set up a side business called Red Raider Meats that sells leftover teaching product across the state. It's now a $2.2 million retailing catering business, and all proceeds are funneled into the meat judging program's endowment, which is currently at $10 million.
Why hasn't the Big 12 told us about this?
Why isn't that endowment going to other areas for other students?
That's some well-endowed
Why should
meat.
It? Athletics shouldn't pay for everything else, nor should meat judging. Meat judging. That money goes to meat judging.
Josh, we all know only a small percentage of meat judgers in college go professional pro. Meat judging.
Right. The Big 12's at the forefront of meat judging, and they're not telling anybody about it?
Sounds just Big 12. So Big 12, right?
I've never heard of this. K-State's apparently got a team. Does Kansas have a team?
I don't know. Kansas people expect you to cut the meat for them
feels,
and just
serve
it.
This feels like they would say this is only a sport and they do in Manhattan.
Yeah, I could just see KU right now going, we're not having this sport. People cut the meat for us and then feed it to us and wipe our mouths with a cloth napkin.
Where they bring you the cut of meat and you say, I don't know.
Yeah, KU fans are the judge.
Yes
I don't
or
know
no.
about this cut of meat. This does not fit my Leewood standards. Off with the meat.
Where's the Big 12? Come on.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
The Big 12's not publicizing this? Has Kansas City not fought for this national championship?
Well, it's Dakota City, Nebraska.
I understand.
Got the stranglehold on
Josh.
Is Kathy Nelson in the sports commission
Is
Kathy's
she
obviously asleep at the wheel.
How is the Big 12 not trumpeting this thing?
Come on, Kathy. Why are we on top of this?
Forget football and basketball. The league's really good at meat judging.
We need to get the meat judging championships to KC.
Come on, Big 12.
I mean, the Silverstein Eye Centers could hold this thing.
Big 12's dropping the ball.
Big time. Again.
Again.
It's been going on since 82.
No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no.
Is there public speaking that's part of it, too? Should be.
The endowment for this is $10 million at Texas Tech.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they're the best. Okay. PGA Championship's underway. It is time to play PGA golfer or former British Prime Minister.
What?
Go. Oh, it is. PGA Championship's underway, and I looked through the leaderboard. I didn't know hardly any of these people.
That's a shock, because I really have
locked
in on golf, like tied for like 20th or something like that.
Double bogey the first hole, I know
that. Yeah, it's not doing well. So you always want to play Mission Hills resident or PGA golfer. I think we need to educate our listeners and you along the way, so I've changed it up just a little bit. PGA golfer or former British Prime Minister.
PGA golfer or meat judger from the Big 12.
That's also something we could do. Kling, let's start with you. How about Matt Wallace? Matt Wallace.
PGA golfer.
You're correct. Matt was near the top of the leaderboard, actually, currently at the PGA Championship.
Would you watch meat judging if ESPN had it?
100%. I watched lightsaber fighting. Over to you, Bob.
I've watched bags, so yeah.
Gordon Cornhole. Brown. How about Gordon Brown? Is he a golfer or a former British Prime Minister?
Oh, that's a good one, Ryan.
Thank you.
I'm going to lean towards British Prime Minister.
For sure.
He was. He was actually the Prime Minister of Britain from 07 to 2010. So congratulations to you. Back over to you, Kling. James Callahan.
Ooh.
James Callahan.
Callahan Auto Parts.
Yeah. That Zelensky fellow was a real jerk.
I'm going to go with Prime Minister.
Hey, you guys are good at this game. James Callahan, the Prime Minister of Britain from 76 to 79.
Then he went on to have Callahan Auto Parts in Sandusky, Ohio, didn't he?
He did. That is 100%
when
true.
He was forced out in Britain.
Bob, let's go back over to you. How about John Major?
Well, that's a British Prime Minister.
He was.
Should be a golfer, though. John Major.
Yeah.
Long-running Prime Minister, 90 to 97.
That should be a golfer.
He was that. How about J.T. Poston?
That's a good one.
I'm going to go with Poston. J.T. Poston. Golfer.
Oh, man, you guys are good. Really crushing this one. Bob, back over to you. Graham McDowell.
Golfer.
McDowell. What is going on? You guys are looking at the leaderboard right now?
Graham McDowell could be a prime minister. That's a good prime minister name, but Graham McDowell, yeah, golfer. Yeah.
Man, that's, how about Charles Howell III?
Golfer.
That's a golfer.
That's golfer.
Really, he goes by Thurston, actually.
Those are really killing it right now.
Second was the prime minister. Third was the golfer.
Ramsey McDonald.
Yeah, that I don't know. I'm going to go.
Ramsey McDonald.
I'm going to go prime minister.
Final answer?
Yes.
He was the British prime minister in 1924. How about Alec Douglas Home? Alec Douglas Home.
You're looking at me like I know the answer to this, Josh.
Got to be prime minister.
Wow.
You were about
good.
To get the clean sweep on this. He was the prime minister 63 to 64. I didn't even know there was this many prime ministers.
No, I didn't either. I thought I would know all the prime ministers, but I was just guessing there.
Final one for you. How about Anthony Eden? Anthony Eden.
I'm going to go golfer.
Almost had a clean sweep. Anthony Eden was the UK prime minister 55 to 57.
That's why I didn't know him. He was only 2 years in office.
Yeah.
otherwise, they'd have nailed it.
He didn't even have time to eat a nice bowl of porridge.
Fish and chips, and bangers and mash.
Yeah, no, bangers and mash is Irish, I think.
I'm pretty sure you get bangers and mash in England.
Well, you can get anything anywhere. I mean, you can get spaghetti in America.
That's another addition to PGA golfer or former British Prime Minister. In fact, Matt Wallace, who was one of the names, is now atop the leaderboard. -3, Ches Reavy at 2 under.
Who?
Tyrell Hatton at 2 under, Brooks Koepka at 2 under, and the Tigers +2 through 5. He double bogeyed his first hole, and he is +2 through 5.
Text line's right. I feel like we all won in this latest edition of this game.
That's probably
we
probably
did.
Correct.
I mean, look at all the history you learned.
Yeah, that was good.
Gordon Brown.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Man, they blew it last night in hockey and a chance to win tickets to Monster Jam. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.